Thank God your mind has been restored. Scripture is taken from 1 Samuel 17, verses 1 to 3. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socor in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Socor and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. So we see the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side and Israel stood on the other side with a valley between them. It was significant that the Valley of Elah should be the battleground for these two armies. Our lives are similar, inasmuch as we have evil on one side and good on the opposite side, fighting each other to see which force, good or evil, will control or influence us throughout our existence here on earth. The Valley of Elah was very fertile land, and probably at that time one of the most fertile places around. And whoever got control of that area would become a very prosperous nation. Goliath was a giant of a man and the champion warrior of the Philistines. He would come out and shout abuse from the front line of the Philistine army and terrified the army of Israel. In 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 to 11, we read, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's word, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. No situation of fear ever goes away until you make a decision, trusting in God to do something about it. Fear was never meant to be part of our human nature. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, we read, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." During our lives here on earth, each one of us will face many confrontations like that between the Philistines and the Israelite armies in the Valley of Elah. Problematic situations are not what we always expect. But in order to be productively successful, we must find the answers to the problems that confront us. In Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, "Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In the beginning of this message, we heard that the majority of King Saul's army were afraid of Goliath. To have fear of anything or anyone leads to failure. In fact, fear even stifles or kills any chance of you having any success. If you think you're not going to make it, then you are not going to make it. How did mankind make or allow fear to enter into human nature? God created you without fear and without shame. He created you with a brilliant mind. And we see this in Genesis 2, verse 19. We read the following: "Out of the ground, The Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Here we see that Adam had the ability to name the animals that he had not seen before. With this naming, Adam showed his knowledge and lordship of nature. After man disobeyed by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his mind deteriorated and he lost his original brilliance. To really understand what it took for Jesus Christ to restore man's mind, we need to look at an extreme case of spiritual degeneration that occurred in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. And this says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. And because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine, that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid." In verse 15, we see that after this man was delivered of the demon of legion, he was in his right mind. When we read a little further, we see that the people asked Jesus to leave the area. They were not prepared to lose their swine and have their properties damaged in order to have this man restored to his right mind. This story is a similar reflection of how Jesus also restored man's mind to its original brilliant state through the passion of his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. This we read in Mark chapter 15, verses 16 to 22. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. And a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. And they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. You can see that Jesus was ridiculed and beaten on his head again and again after having a crown of thorns placed upon it. We are told in verse 22 that he was crucified at Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. The significance of your skull being the seat of your mind is that Jesus Christ won the battle for the souls of humanity at a place called the skull. Therefore, you too can be in your right mind. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that your work of salvation included the restoration of our minds, so that we can make reconciliation with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Philip.
We want to sing you the song about a love for a man who sacrificed. On the cross on Golgotha, yeah.